Romeo and Juliet.
Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured, piteous overthrows doth with their death bury their parents' strife. The fearful passage of their death-marked love and the continuance of their parents' rage, which but their children's end naught could remove, is now the 2 hours' traffic of our stage, the which if you with patient ears attend, what here shall miss, our toil shall strive to mend.
Capulet dogs!
Gregory, on my word, we'll not carry coals.
No, but then we should be colliers.
I mean, and we be in collar, we'll draw.
Aye, while you live, draw your neck out of collar.
I strike quickly, being moved.
But thou art not quickly moved to strike.
A dog of the house of Montague moves me.
To move is to stir, and to be valiant is to stand. Therefore, if thou art moved, thou runst away.
A dog of that house shall move me to stand. I will take the wall of any man or maid of Montague's.
That shows thee a weak slave, for the weakest goes to the wall.
It is true. And therefore women, being the weaker vessels, are ever thrust to the wall. Therefore, I will push Montague's men from the wall and thrust his maids to the wall.
The quarrel is between our masters and us, their men.
It is all one. I will show myself a tyrant. When I have fought with the men, I will be civil with the maids. I will cut off their heads.
The heads of the maids?
Aye, the heads of the maids, or their maiden heads. Take it in what sense thou wilt.
They must take it in sense that feel it.
Me they shall feel while I'm able to stand. And 'tis known I am a pretty piece of flesh.
'Tis well thou art not fish. If thou hadst, thou hadst been poor John.
Draw thy tool. Here comes two of the house of Montagues.
My naked weapon is out. Quarrel, I will back thee.
How? Turn thy back and run?
Fear me not.
No, marry,
I fear thee.
Let us take the law of our side. Let them begin.
I will frown as I pass by, and let them take it as they list.
Nay, as they dare. I will bite my thumb at them, which is disgrace to them if they bear it.
Hey! You bite your thumb at us, sir.
I do bite my thumb, sir.
Do you bite your thumb at us, sir?
Is the law of our side if I say aye?
No.
No, sir. I do not bite my thumb at you, sir. But I bite my thumb, sir.
Do you quarrel, sir?
Quarrel, sir? No, sir.
But if you do, sir, I am for you. I serve as good a man as you.
No better.
Well, sir.
Say better. Here comes one of my master's kinsmen.
Yes, better, sir.
You lie!
More if you big men!
Gregory, remember thy washing blow! Out, fools, put up your swords! Do you know not what you do?
What art thou drawn among these heartless hinds? Turn thee, Benvolio. Look upon thy death.
I do but keep the peace, Tybalt. Put up thy sword or manage it to part these men with me.
What? Drawn and talk of peace? I hate the word as I hate hell, all Montagues and thee.
Have at thee, coward!
Loves, bills and partisans!
Strike!
Hold! What noise is this? Give me my long sword, ho.
A crotch, why call you for a sword?
Make way!
Montague! My sword, I say. Old Montague is come and flourishes his blade in spite of me.
Thou villain Capulet!
Husband!
Hold me not! Let me go!
Thou shalt not stir one foot to seek a foe!
Hold him! Hold him! Oh.
The prince! Rebellious subjects! Enemies to peace! Profaners of this neighbor stain its steel! Will they not hear? What ho, you men, you beasts! That quench the fire of your pernicious rage with purple fountains issuing from your veins? On pain of torture! From those bloody hands, throw your mistempered weapons to the ground and hear the sentence of your moved prince! Three civil brawls, bred of an airy word by thee, old Capulet and Montague, have thrice disturbed the quiet of our streets and made Verona's ancient citizens cast by their grey-beseeming ornaments to wield old partisans in hands as old, cankered with peace to part your cankered hate. If ever you disturb our streets again, your life shall pay the forfeit of the peace. For this time, all the rest depart away. You, Capulet, shall go along with me.
My lord.
And Montague, come you this afternoon to know our farther pleasure in this case to old Free Town, our common judgment place.
My lord.
Once more, on pain of death, all men depart.
Who set this ancient quarrel new abroad? Speak, nephew. Were you by when it began?
Here were the servants of your adversary and yours, close fighting ere I did approach. I drew to part them. In the instant came the fiery Tybalt, with his sword prepared, which as he breathed defiance to my ears, he swung about his head and cut the winds, who nothing hurt withal, hissed him in scorn. While we were interchanging thrusts and blows, came more and more, and fought on part and part, till the prince came, who parted either part.
Where is Romeo? Saw you him today? Right glad I am he was not at this fray.
Madam, an hour before the worshipped sun peered forth the golden window of the east, a troubled mind drew me to walk abroad, where underneath the grove of sycamore that westward rooteth from this city side, so early walking did I see your son. Towards him I made, but he was ware of me, and stole into the covert of the wood. I, measuring his affections by my own, which then most sought where most might not be found, being one too many by my weary self, pursued my humour, not pursuing his, and gladly shunned who gladly fled from me.
Many a morning hath he there been seen, with tears augmenting the fresh morning's dew, adding to clouds more clouds with his deep sighs. But also soon as the all-cheering sun should in the farthest east begin to draw the shady curtains from Aurora's bed, away from light steals home my heavy son, and private in his chamber pens himself, shuts up his windows, locks fair daylight out, and makes himself an artificial night. Black and portentous must this humour prove, unless good counsel may the cause remove.
My noble uncle, do you know the cause?
I neither know it nor can learn of him.
Have you importuned him by any means?
Both by myself and many other friends. But he, his own affection's counsellor, is to himself, I will not say how true, but to himself so secret and so close, so far from sounding and discovery, as is the bud, bit with an envious worm, ere he can spread his sweet leaves to the air or dedicate his beauty to the sun. Could we but learn from whence his sorrows grow, we would as willingly give cure as know.
See where he comes. Look, so please you step aside. I'll know his grievance, or be much denied.
I would thou wert so happy by thy stay to hear true shrift. Come, madam, let's away.
Good morrow, cousin.
Is the day so young?
But new struck nine.
Ay, me, sad hours seem long. Was that my father that went hence so fast?
It was. What sadness lengthens Romeo's hours?
Not having that which having makes them short.
In love?
Out.
Of love?
Out of her favour where I am in love.
Alas, that love so gentle in his view should be so tyrannous and rough in proof.
Alas, that love, whose view is muffled still, should without eyes see pathways to his will. Where shall we dine? Oh me, what fray was here? Yet tell me not, for I have heard it all. He has much to do with hate, but more with love. Why then, O brawling love, O loving hate, O anything of nothing first create, O heavy lightness, serious vanity, misshapen chaos of well-seeming forms, feather of lead, bright smoke, cold fire, sick health, still waking sleep that is not what it is. This love feel I that feel no love in this. Dost thou not laugh?
No, coz, I rather weep.
Good heart, at what?
At thy good heart's oppression.
Why, such is love's transgression. Griefs of mine own lie heavy in my breast, which thou wilt propagate to have it pressed with more of thine. This love that thou hast shown doth add more grief to too much of mine own. Love is a smoke made with a fume of sighs. Being purged, a fire sparkling in lovers' eyes. Being vexed, a sea nourished with lovers' tears. What is it else? A madness most discreet, a choking gall and a preserving sweet. Farewell, my cuz.
Soft, I will go along, and you leave me so, you do me wrong.
Tut, I have lost myself, I am not here. This is not Romeo, he's some other where.
Tell me in sadness, who is't that you love?
What shall I groan and tell thee?
Groan? Why, no, but sadly tell me who.
Bid a sick man in sadness make his will, a word ill urged to one that is so ill. In sadness, cousin, I do love a woman.
I aimed so near when I supposed you loved.
A right good markman, and she's fair I love.
A right fair mark, fair cuz, is soonest hit.
Well, in that hit you miss. She'll not be hit with Cupid's arrow. She hath Dian's wit, and in strong proof of chastity well armed, from love's weak childish bow she lives unharmed. She will not stay the siege of loving terms, nor bide the encounter of assailing eyes, nor ope her lap to saint-seducing gold. Oh, she is rich in beauty, only poor, that when she dies, with beauty dies her store.
Then she hath sworn that she will still live chaste?
She hath, and in that sparing makes huge waste. For beauty starved with her severity cuts beauty off from all posterity. She is too fair, too wise, wisely too fair to merit bliss by making me despair. She hath forsworn to love, and in that vow do I live dead that live to tell it now.
Be ruled by me. Forget to think of her.
Oh, teach me how I should forget to think.
By giving liberty unto thine eyes, examine other beauties.
'Tis the way to call hers exquisite in question more. These happy masks that kiss fair ladies' brows, being black, puts us in mind they hide the fair. He that is struck and blind cannot forget the precious treasure of his eyesight lost. Show me a mistress that is passing fair. What doth her beauty serve but as a note where I may read who passed that passing fair? Farewell. Thou canst not teach me to forget.
I'll pay that doctrine or else die in debt.
But Montague is bound as well as I in penalty alike, and 'tis not hard, I think, for men so old as we to keep the peace.
Of honorable reckoning are you both, and pity 'tis you lived at odds so long. But now, my lord, what say you to my suit?
but saying or what I have said before. My child is yet a stranger in the world. She hath not seen the change of 14 years. Let two more summers wither in their pride, ere we may think her ripe to be a bride.
Younger than she are happy mothers made.
And too soon marred are those so early made. Earth hath swallowed all my hopes but she. She is the hopeful lady of my earth. But woo her, gentle Paris, get her heart. My will to her consent is but a part, and she agreed within her scope of choice lies my consent and fair according voice. This night I hold an old accustomed feast, whereto I have invited many a guest such as I love, and you among the store, one more most welcome makes my number more. At my poor house, look to behold this night earth-treading stars that make dark heaven light. Such comfort as do lusty young men feel when well-apparelled April on the heel of limping winter treads, even such delight among fresh female buds shall you this night inherit at my house. Hear all see. And like her most, whose merit most shall be, which on more view of many, mine being one, may stand in number, though in reckoning none. Come, go with me. Peter.
Sir?
Go, sirrah, trudge about, through fair Verona, find those persons out, whose names are written there, and to them say, my house and welcome on their pleasure. Stay.
Ah. Find them out, whose names are written here. It is written that the shoemaker should meddle with his yard and the tailor with his last, the fisher with his pencil and the painter with his nets. But I am sent to find those persons whose names are here writ and can never find what names the writing person hath here writ. Oh, I must to the learned. In good time.
Tell man, one fire burns out another's burn. One pain is lessened by another's anguish. Turn giddy and be hopped by backward turning. One desperate grief cures with another's languish. Take thou some new infection to thy eye, and the rank poison of the old will die.
Your plantain leaf is excellent for that.
For what?
For your broken shin.
Romeo, art thou mad?
Not mad, but bound more than a madman is. Shut up in prison, kept without my food, whipped and tormented and... Good e'en, good fellow.
God gee, good e'en. I pray you, sir, can you read?
I, mine own fortune in my misery.
Perhaps you've learnt it without book. But I pray, can you read anything you see?
If I know the letters and the language...
You say honestly, rest you merry.
Stay, fellow, I can read. Signor Martino and his wife and daughters, County Anselm and his beauteous sisters, the lady widow of Vitruvio, Signor Placentio and his lovely nieces, Mercutio and his brother Valentine, mine uncle Capulet, his wife and daughters, my fair niece Rosaline. And Olivia, Signor Valentio, and his cousin Tybalt, Lucio, and the lively Helena. A fair assembly. Whither should they come?
Up.
Whither?
To supper, to our house.
Whose house?
My master's.
Indeed, I should have asked thee that before.
Now I'll tell you without asking. My master is the great rich Capulet, and if you be not of the house of Montagues, I pray come and crush a cup of wine. Rest ye merry.
At this same ancient feast of Capulets sups the fair Rosaline, whom thou so loves, with all the admired beauties of Verona. Go thither, and with unattainted eye, compare her face with some that I shall show, and I will make thee think thy swan a crow.
When the devout religion of mine eye maintains such falsehood, then turn tears to fires, and these who, often drowned, could never die, transparent heretics, be burnt for liars. One fairer than my love, the all-seeing sun ne'er saw her match since first the world begun.
Tut, you saw her fair, none else being by, herself poised with herself in either eye. But in that crystal scales, let there be weighed your lady's love against some other maid that I will show you shining at this feast, and she shall scant show well that now seems best.
I'll go along, no such sight to be shown, but to rejoice in splendor of mine own.
Thank you.
my daughter. Call her forth to me.
Now, by my maidenhead at 12 years old, I bade her come.
What lamb? What, ladybird? God forbid, where is this girl? What, Juliet?
Hannah. Who calls?
Your mother.
Madam, I am here. What is your will?
This is the matter. Nurse, give leave a while. We must talk in secret.
Oh. Nurse, come back again. I have remembered me. Thou's here our counsel.
Thou knowest my daughter's of a pretty age.
Faith, I can tell her age into an hour.
She's not 14.
I'll lay 14 in my teeth, and yet to my team be it spoken, I have but 4. She's not 14. How long it's now to Lammas time?
A fortnight and odd days.
Even a rod of all days in the year, come Lammas Eve at night, shall she be 14.
Oh, nurse.
Susan and she, God rest all Christian souls, were of an age. Well, Susan is with God. Oh, she was too good for me. But as I said, on Lammas Eve at night, shall she be 14. That shall she marry, I remember it well. 'Tis since the earthquake now 11 years, and she was weaned, I never shall forget it, of all days of the year upon that day. For I then laid wormwood to my dog, sitting in the sun under the dove house wall.
Juliet.
My lord and you were then at Mantua. Nay, I do bear a brain. But as I said, when it did taste the wormwood on the nipple of my dog and felt it bitter, pretty fool to see it tetchy and fall out with a dog. Shake, quoth the dove house, 'twas no need I trow to bid me trud.
Goodness, I'm crazy.
And since that time it is 11 years. For then she could stand, high lone. Nay, by the rood, she could have run and waddled all about. For even the day before, she broke her brow. And then my husband, God be with his soul, oh, he was a merry man, took up the child. Yea, quoth he, dost thou fall upon thy face? Thou wilt fall backward when thou hast more wit. Wilt thou not, Jewel?
Yes.
And by my halidom, the pretty wretch left crying, and said I, to see now how a jest shall come about. I warrant and I shall live 1,000 years. I never shall forget it. Wilt thou not, Jewel, quoth he? And pretty fool, it stinted, and said I.
Enough of this. I pray thee hold thy peace.
Yes, madam. Yet I cannot choose but laugh to think it should leave crying and say aye. And yet I warrant it had upon it brow a bump as big as a young cockerel stone, a perilous knock, and it cried bitterly. Yea, quoth my husband, forced upon my face, thou wilt fall backward when thou comest to age. Wilt thou not, Jewel? It stinted. And said I.
And stint thou too, I pray thee, nurse, say I.
Peace have done. Oh. Oh, God mark thee to his grace. Thou wast the prettiest babe that e'er I nursed. And I might live to see thee married once. I have my wish.
Marry, that marry is the very theme I came to talk of. Tell me, daughter Juliet, how stands your dispositions to be married?
It is an honour that I dream not of.
An honour? Were not I thy only nurse, I would say thou had sucked wisdom from thy teeth.
Well, think of marriage now. Younger than you, here in Verona, ladies of esteem are made already mothers. By my count, I was your mother much upon these years that you are now a maid. Thus then, in brief, the valiant Paris seeks you for his love.
A man, young lady, lady, such a man as all the world, why? He's a man of wax.
Verona's summer hath not such a flower.
Nay, nay, he's a flower. In faith, a very flower.
What say you? Can you love the gentleman? This night you shall behold him at our feast. Read o'er the volume of young Paris' face, and find delight writ there with beauty's pen. Examine every married lineament, and see how one another lends content, and what obscured in this fair volume lies, find written in the margin of his eyes. This precious book of love, this unbound lover, to beautify him only lacks a cover. The fish lives in the sea, and 'tis much pride for fair without the fair within to hide. That book in many's eyes doth share the glory that in gold clasps locks in the golden story.
so shall you share all that he doth possess by having him, making yourself no less.
No less? Nay, bigger. Women grow by men.
Speak briefly. Can you like of Paris love?
I'll look to like, if looking liking move. But no more deep will I endart mine eye than your consent gives strength to make it fly.
Madam, the guests are come, supper served up. You called, my young lady asked for, the nurse cursed in the pantry, and everything in extremity. I must hence to wait. I beseech you, follow straight.
We follow thee, Juliet. The county stays.
Go, girl. Seek happy nights to happy days.